I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Caravan of Garbage, where guess what?
What?
We're going to be looking at the four currently released Mad Max movies.
Ah!
Starting in 1979 all the way up to 2015's Mad Max Fury Roads.
Great. Good start.
But is there only one road? No, there's two roads, because at the start of that movie, they're like, she's going on the wrong road. So there's at least two roads.
Oh, yes.
That we know of.
I feel in this movie, there's just one road.
Yes.
There's one road and one main street and one...
bridge.
One bridge and one pub. Now, listen, this is
the time to leave a like on the video.
Well, certainly that is, yes. Now, This is the first in the Mad Max series. And folks, you might be out there thinking... you guys are Australian.
Yep.
This movie is Australian. Mm-hmm. It's a legendary movie. People love it. It made a lot of money. It launched the careers of George Miller and Mel Gibson. Mm-hmm. Are you guys even allowed to criticize it? And I would say, yeah, not only are we allowed to, it's mandatory. It's called tall poppy syndrome. Look it up. These guys are rich and successful. They've had it too good for too
exactly.
long. We're going to kick them.
Fucking kite-and-ass looking film, Country of Victoria.
Right?
That's a very specific local reference.
Or go out and make a movie in Melton.
Oh, man, I recognise so many of these roads. Not even these roads specifically, but just areas that look exactly like this.
A certain type of road. Like, this movie is obviously like it's born out of, like, revenge movies of the 70s, you know, like...
Grindhouse,
The Outlaw Josie Wales, Death Wish, mm-hmm. all this sort of stuff. I'm going to say the Wikipedia page for this movie, it starts with, the plot summary starts with, a near-future dystopian Australia is facing a breakdown of civil order.
Mm-hmm.
You could have fooled me that this is a dystopian near-future Australia.
He lives near the beach.
Yeah, right?
He's got so many clean, pale blue T-shirts.
This is just Australia in the 70s. Honestly, this is about... what it was like. If they made this
movie... The post-apocalyptic thing is very much an afterthought.
Yeah. If they made this movie in the 90s, most of the scenes wouldn't be set, like, outside a country pub. They'd be set at a muffin break or a Gloria Jean's coffee. Toe Cutter would be talking to his boys while picking at a raspberry and white chalk muffin.
At the front of a Jeans West.
You better believe it.
Yeah. God damn. Also, this movie, we've talked about this before, it should be called Mad Goose.
Furious Goose.
Yeah. It should be called Furious Goose and Measured Max.
Yeah, Max is in this sometimes.
Because even when he's mad, he's mostly under control. And also, it's Goose on the poster. He's wearing the gear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mad Max, or as his full name is, Madthew Max. He doesn't wear that outfit. Outrageous. Anyway, so there is a story about how apparently Mel Gibson turned up for the audition. And he was in a bar fight and he was all beat up. And they were like, look at this rough and tumble dude.
And he was going for the role of like one of the goons, I guess? Or
None of that is true.
Oh, right.
Him and Steve Bisley, mm-hmm. who plays Mad Goose in this, Furious Goose, they were roommates. They were in acting schools together and they both auditioned. And this is just how it kind of came together. Steve Bisley, people might know from later Australian series such as Water Rats.
Love Water Rats.
So the vibe...
Now that's a post-apocalyptic future.
Sydney in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yuck. So the vibe of this, as you mentioned, it's more 70s grindhouse. Probably, I would say also, there are elements of horror to this.
Mm.
A lot of it is more implied.
Yes.
You don't get, like, direct bloody gore violence in this movie.
That's true.
You'll often cut away before that kind of happens.
Toe cutter away.
Very good.
No, not good.
Very good. I put this in the same category as there's like a series of Australian 1970s and 80s like TV shows and movies.
A Country Practice.
Country Practice, that's a perfect example. Wake in Fright,
yes.
Alvin Purple, The Adventures of Barry McKenzie. Okay. Those Energizer commercials with Mark Jacko Jackson.
Mm, sure.
Hey, Hey, It's Saturday. These are all terrifyingly energetic things that we experienced in the 70s and 80s.
Mm, sure.
I feel like this movie does a really good job. Again, it's set in the future, sort of. It's actually set in 1997. Apparently, that's the official year.
If it were actually set in 1997, let's look up some cultural touchstones.
Water rats.
Oh, water rats, of course. Mm. So they'd be watching water rats on TV. This bloody good bloke looks exactly like me. Oh, John Howard.
Typical of him. He's one of our many Australian prime ministers who sucks.
That's right.
He's probably not the worst, but he's up there. He's up there.
Yeah. Anyway, this movie, very strong start, I think.
Yeah. The opening action sequence is like a closing action sequence.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Spectacular. Did they have permits to make this?
No.
I didn't think
Talk
so.
Talk about all of that.
It is astounding nobody died in the making of this movie.
Just want to clarify, people might not have seen this because often when people think about the original Mad Max movies, they think of The Road Warrior, which we'll talk about next week, and Beyond Thunderdome. A lot of the imagery is from that.
Oh, if you're confused, if you're thinking of like a really big man with a leather mask, with a really little man, and you're like, that's what Australia was like in the 70s? You're thinking of Mad Max 2. We're referring to Mad Max 1.
That's right, yeah, which you may not have seen. Yeah.
Oh, walled cities? Australia? Yeah, kind of.
Kind of, yeah.
Caroline Springs.
So it started as the core idea from George Miller was a journalist who would visit car accidents in Victoria, and as a result of visiting all these horrific scenes, he became desensitized to it until it affected him specifically, like something happened to his family.
Ah, I see.
Which sounds a lot like Nightcrawler, by the way.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. But then George Miller had the idea because he's actually a doctor, legally. I don't know if he's still practicing. And he saw so many patients come in with horrific motorcycle and automobile accidents, and he went, wait a minute, I think there's $100 million in this, Mason.
Oh, yes.
And boy, was there. But yeah, real low budget. They raised the money by not only working as an emergency room doctor, but going out to other doctor friends and medical practitioners that he knew. So they raised the $350,000-ish to make this movie. And they also wanted it to appeal to an American market. So they had to do all of these things to kind of elevate the material so it looks grander than it actually is.
Yeah, sure. Did he pull some actors aside and go, give us kind of an American accent? Give it a go in some scenes.
Well,
if it doesn't work, we'll just revert back to your Australian accent.
There's a dub.
Yeah.
Most people in the 70s and 80s and 90s would have seen the American dub of this, where literally everybody, including Mel Gibson, who is American.
Yeah, he's America's own.
Yeah. He's yours, America. You know that. They're all dubbed. I mean, Mel Gibson is also doing an Australian accent in this because he'd lived in Australia for like 10 or so years. But a lot of the extras were paid in beer. A lot of the stunts are illegal, or they just illegally close a road. They just grab a stop sign and be like, okay, we're on the Geelong Freeway. Let's just stop 1,000 cars.
And those cars were like, well, we didn't actually want to go to Geelong, honestly.
What if you're coming out of Geelong, though?
Oh, my God.
Damn.
Well, you'd be part of the stunt, wouldn't you? I'll do anything to get out of Geelong right now. I'll ramp this car into a lake. I don't care.
I think one of the things that this does really, really well, one thing, it's got some of the worst cops on the planet. I appreciate that. Just people who have given up because it's the 70s.
Yeah, sure.
That's great. But it's just maniacs running about.
Yeah.
Like Hugh Keyes-Byrne as Toe Cutter. By the way, people might not know this, or maybe you do. He's also a Morton Joe in Fury Road.
That is true. And I think a lot of people, the fan canon, what do you call it? The
in the universe?
The head canon for a lot of people was that Toe Cutter and a Morton Joe are the same guy.
Absolutely not.
It is. Yeah. There's a comic book. There's a Fury Road comic book where Morton Joe's, I think he's a military general.
Right, okay.
So
maybe.
Not true, but I mean, it was a bit of fun, isn't it?
He's got that white in his hair at the front, and maybe
that's true.
That flows out. But he also got mashed by that truck pretty severely, didn't he?
That's true, yes.
Pretty severely. Yeah. Really.
Mm.
This does something that RoboCop does really well. It's interesting, wacky gang members.
Yes, okay.
Unique, horrible. Also, in real life, these guys had to ride the bikes down from Sydney to Melbourne for filming because it was cheaper than getting them shipped down. So they all kind of bonded over that. And then they kind of took on the characters in their own way, and they started threatening Mel Gibson and Steve Bisley. At one point, they left like a note that we're going to get you in blood on a wall for him.
Oh, yeah.
They were doing...
This is the blueprint for Jared Leto.
It's Jared Leto's Joker, but it's just Aussie blokes running amok.
Yeah. Being larrikins.
Yeah.
I'm going to murder you. Nah, mate, I'm just mucking about. I said I was going to murder you, but I... And when you say they've developed their own personalities, do you mean they all think they're in a different film?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, nobody knew what this was.
Well, I mean, some people think, I mean, Hugh Keyes Burns was a Shakespearean actor.
Yep.
And I think they've gone, just do what you know.
Just whatever accent you can do on the day.
And a lot of people are like, you know, this, it feels kind of student film. Like everybody's like, I'm going to build my own backstory and I'm going to be.
Well, they were all doing that in real life because all the bikie gang were like living together in the same room, just sharing mattresses, like sprawled across the.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying? When you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot. Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect. Floor, like living in dirt, punching darts, all of that. Sure. So yeah, a lot of that is, true.
A lot of this movie is like work with what you have. Like if you have, say, an actor who can play the saxophone for a bit, you just have a serenade Mel Gibson with a saxophone for a bit. You know?
Love all of that, yeah. There's a great...
Anyway.
That's the one saxophone song.
Yeah, I think so.
There's a great documentary. It is on YouTube, but I recommend you renting it. It's called The Madness of Max. It's like 2.5 hours long, an hour longer than this movie. And I reckon an hour of it at least is dedicated to just cutting between all the gang members, and they're just like, I don't know, man, I just kind of lost it. We're all threatening Mel Gibson and running about. And then it cuts to Mel Gibson. He's like, yeah, I didn't really like that. That was scary for me.
I was scared. I was in the outer suburbs of Melbourne in the 70s. Yeah. I'd rather be in prison, quite frankly.
Oh, my goodness. That's all fun. I tell you what, though, the stunt work in this, it's It's very impressive and very upsetting.
Isn't it though, yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Brian Kennedy, who put this together with George Miller until he passed away in 83, we'll talk about him more when we talk about the other movies. His dream car as a teenager was the V8 Interceptor Pursuit Special, which is, of course, Mad Max's car.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Matthew Max's car. And all of the stunt work in this, a lot of the time, you know, they would get in professional stunt drivers. And even then they were just like, I don't know, I'm a pretty good driver. I could probably pull this off.
Uh-huh.
Or they'd just get the gang members to just do the stuff themselves. There's a moment where one of them pole vaults onto a petrol tanker. Uh-huh. That's just a guy doing that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a moment where a guy comes off a motorbike and then he gets hit in the head by a motorbike.
Yeah.
Like, that's real. They also asked the Department of Defense for a rocket. You know, there's a moment where there's a rocket on the back of the car.
Boy, do I.
That's a real rocket. And the Department of Defense in the 70s was just like, yeah, fuck it, you can have a rocket, whatever.
That's right.
So let's put a rocket in it.
We're all stealing stuff, yeah, quite frankly. So,
yeah. It's just wild, man. Yeah. It's incredible. There's also, I love all the, there's just weird little cuts in this. The moment where we see Charred Goose, the punch in on Mad Max's face, and it kind of does this warbly cut.
Yeah.
He like freaks out.
That's kind of a George Miller signature. Oh, yeah. Like you definitely see a lot of that in Fury Road.
And also we get a couple of really googly eyes before somebody's in a horrific accident.
Yeah.
It's just a real close up of just hyper exaggerated googly eyes, which I enjoy thoroughly. Yeah, I think, yeah, if you haven't seen this, this is not what you think. If you're going and thinking, again, it's the desert and it's Mad Max and he's a lone warrior, this is more like a prequel to the Mad Max you probably are familiar with.
Yeah, this, I mean, if you're going into this expecting kind of, you know, a 90 minute action sequence a la Fury Road,
no,
there's a lot of contemplative moments. There's a lot of tender moments in the woods.
Yeah,
you know.
At one point, Mad Max goes on a holiday with his family.
That's right.
Probably to Phillip Island.
Oh, he might be in Phillip Island. He might have gone to, what's the place with the mineral springs? Where's that?
Not Kyneton?
Not Kyneton. He would have gone to, I'm going to look it up.
Blackwood?
No, not Blackwood.
Bacchus Marsh?
No.
Ararat?
Not Ararat.
Ballarat?
Not Ballarat.
There is a mineral springs in Blackwood. I know that for a fact.
Well, la-di-da. La-dee-da.
Trentham?
Not Trentham. Dalesford.
Dalesford. Dalesford's lovely.
I know.
It's a beautiful
place.
That's
where you'd go if your best friend Goose had been blown up in a car and you've got your wife and your sprog and you're going to have a fun time, you know? Relax You'd go to a B&B.
Okay, just a quick word on Dalesford. Mm-hmm. It's really come up because it's a mix of like cosmopolitan, modern, progressive, and just seedy old pubs. It's this beautiful blend, but it's a real harmony. It's not a clash.
It's true.
You can go get like an ornate croissant with a very specific type of coffee or whatever.
You can get a wonderful antique.
Yeah, and then you can go to a pub and someone can hit you with a glass.
Yep.
You can do it all.
You can do it all in Dalesford. This video is sponsored by Dalesford.
All right. You know what it's time for?
What's it time for?
It's time for Max Trivia.
I love that.
Yeah. Tim Burns, Johnny the Boy, apparently he was so into his character that he annoyed everybody on set and was abandoned one day during lunch while handcuffed to a wreck.
That's just fun. Boys being larrikins.
Just boys being larrikins. Just mates being blokes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. George Miller paid a truck driver $50 to run over a motorbike in the final scene. However, the truck driver didn't want to damage his rig, as in his truck.
I'm sure.
Thus, the crew had to install a painted... Thus, the crew had to install a shield painted to look like the front of the truck on the front. And boy, can you see that.
You really
it
can.
It looks very just hand-painted, slapped on.
Yeah.
Love it.
Got to tell you, great branding for the Main Force Patrol or whatever that
is. Oh, my God.
All their colours and their logos and...
Well, that's another reason they wanted to set it slightly in the future, because they looked at the cars, like the police cars from this era, and went, no, not cool at all.
The Victoria Police uniforms of that era would have been like the short-sleeved blue shirt, you
absolutely,
know?
Yeah.
The little jaunty little hat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson got paid $10,000 for the film in his first major role. And James Cameron credits this series along with Star Wars for having a major influence on him. And you'll probably notice there's a shot that James Cameron probably copies directly where Max gets his limp in this movie.
Uh-huh.
It's a real Han Solo gets his gun and his name and all of that kind
Isn't
of moment.
It though? Yeah.
Where he gets his knee shot out, so that's why he has the brace in the next movies. And there's a moment where you see him dragging his foot as he's walking down the road after an accident, and it's pretty much the same shot seen in the original Terminator where the Terminator's injured and it's like dragging its foot along.
Yeah.
Good stuff, mate.
Those are the only two movies with injuries.
Correct, yeah. This movie also inspired the entire Saw franchise.
Did it?
And you'll probably understand the moment.
Oh, the sawing.
Yeah, saw your own leg off, mate.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So Lee Whannell and James Wan, they admitted it.
They admitted it. We got him, folks. We got him. And we're going to drag him next. A couple of Australian boys, we're going to drag him down. It's our job.
That's right.
Too good for too long.
Yeah, yeah.
You dogs.
So I just think that's pretty hilarious that how many movies are we in? 10 at least into the Saw franchise?
So Lee Whannell and James Wan watched this movie, tuned out for all of it.
Yeah.
They write it down. They're like, that bit's 10 movies right there. Oh, yeah.
Well, they weren't wrong. Now, as mentioned, in terms of budget, this cost $350,000. And in return, it made $100 million. It was a slow rollout around the world.
Yeah.
It had a really good team behind it in terms of promoting it overseas. Yes, a lot of the people saw the American dub version. Mm-hmm. Here's some footage of it if you'd like to hear it. It's beautiful, isn't it?
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, oh, yuck, mate. That's what we think. But it did become the most profitable film ever made with the highest box office to budget ratio of any motion picture. Until the Blair Witch Project.
Cool.
I mean, $350,000 to $100 million.
Not bad.
That is insane. Mm-hmm. Much like this movie. But I enjoy it. It's, it is what it is.
Sure, absolutely.
It sounds like an insult, but I really recommend that documentary. Uh-huh. Just people going, we don't know. We don't know why nobody died also.
Yeah, we don't. It's a mystery to us. And good for us.
And good for us, yeah.
We wouldn't be here talking to you if someone died.
Nah, maybe.
Yeah.
They probably still would be, but for different reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyways, come back next week because we're going to be talking about Mad Max 2, The Road to Warrior.
Not what it's called.
It might be. We'll find out next week.
We will find out next week.
And if you do want to see that early, which of course you do, you can actually head over to bigsandwich.co. I say of course you do. It's very presumptuous, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's true.
But at bigsandwich.co, not only do these videos go up early, there's also movie commentaries. We do video game Let's Plays. There's bonus podcasts. Our podcast, The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows, that comes out there early on Sunday as opposed to Monday. It's all ad-free if you do want to sign up. It also keeps these ad-free. We don't put any Squarespace sponsorships on this. That's though right. I will.
We would if they gave us enough money.
Give me enough money, I'll do it.
But I mean, so much content, so much bonus stuff.
Yeah.
So many Australian references.
Oh my God.
If you were intrigued when we said, hey, it's Saturday in this video and you want to know more, it's pretty much all we talk about on the podcast.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dickie Knee.
John Blackman.
Pluck a Duck.
Red Simons. Olivia Nixon. Daryl Summers.
Daryl Summers. And Daryl Summers again.
Also, our podcast, you can just listen to it. It's on its own YouTube channel, Spotify, etc.
That's right.
If you're interested. All right, thanks, everyone.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Mad Max.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.